Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Any email you send there, you will get a personal reply from Dan the Man. So you look at that if you email. Again, that's sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but there is content added throughout the week. So you want to continue to roll on over there and check things out. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. Oh, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, come on, you know it by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan, the man with 3 E's.
Oh, Dan, I got to tell you, I love this LeBron James story. He is just turned into, and pardon my language, but the biggest bitch in professional sports. So it's just hilarious. You know, the Cavaliers lost last night again, the sixth time in eight games, this time to the Sacramento Kings of all teams in overtime at home. So in Cleveland, 116 to 112. Now, you know, we heard James cry, we got to get a shooter. We needed a shooter. They went out and got Kyle Korver. Well, when that didn't work, you know, I guess they did finally have time to practice. Remember they went through the issue where they said they were losing because they didn't have time to practice together. So apparently they worked that out. Well, now James has said they need a playmaker. Well, you know, we talked about that a little the other day. It's not that easy to just kind of go out and, you know, get a playmaker. I mean, you can't force teams to trade people to you. Well, now LeBron is, as they put it, at odds with the owner of the Cavaliers. That, of course, is Dan Gilbert, overspending. All right, now apparently, and we don't know the fact here, when LeBron agreed to come back to the Cavaliers, he kind of pressed Gilbert into agreeing to spend unconditionally on talent, as the quote here, regardless of what the luxury tax was. So now in the 2014-15 season, Dan, Gilbert paid $82 million in salaries with $7 million in the luxury tax. All right, last year, he paid $107 million in salaries and $54 million in luxury tax. That was almost $40 million more than any other team. This year, the Cavaliers are currently at $127.6 million in salary and $27 million in the luxury tax. They've spent more than any other team over these 3 years. And yet all LeBron can do is cry about not spending money. Why doesn't he give back some of his salary and then they can go out and get somebody, Dan? Why is that an option?
Because he doesn't take less money.
You know, I mean, this would be, you know, in general terms, this would be like me telling you to go to the grocery store and buy my groceries. You know, so I wouldn't have to spend my money. You know, I mean, this has got to be the greatest gig in the world where you can just kind of go, hey, yeah, go spend this money. Go spend millions of dollars. You know, not just the, you know, 40 or 50 bucks I spend a week on groceries, but we're talking millions here, Dan. It's unbelievable the gall of this guy. You know, I mean, we're looking at $88 million in luxury tax over the last 3 years, and it did get them one championship. But, you know, you've got to get to the point. I mean, you especially as an accountant, is this team profitable?
Well, after next year, because they'll be able to negotiate a deal with for a lot of money if the Browns there to put their, you know, their image on their jersey.
Yeah, well, you know, they're going to have to at this point in time, you know, and it's funny because, you know, like there's quotes in the article about how LeBron is growing frustrated because the Cavaliers have slowed new spending. Their, you know, their salary cap went up, you know, it went up 20, you know, over $20 million. They're spending more on salaries this year. You know, it's not like it's two extra bucks a week. We're talking $20 million. You know, they overpaid all his buddies because he wanted them to stick around. I mean, I think Tristan Thompson makes $16 million a year, which is a huge joke to pay a guy like that. He does one thing, he rebounds. But he's LeBron's buddy. You know, he's part of LeBron's gang. So we pay this goof. Well, we overpay this goof to hang around because it allegedly keeps LeBron happy. And now it's just every day, Dan, there's a different bitch from this guy. And I just don't get it. I mean, if you want out of Cleveland, then get the hell out of Cleveland. You have the option. You know, you're on a one-year deal. If you want to leave, frickin' leave next year. But, I mean, this is just BS what he's doing to this franchise right now. And what's weird is I'm not sure if everybody sees it that way.
I mean, do you foresee him hopping out and moving on?
You know, it'll be interesting. I think a lot of it will depend on how the playoffs go. You know, I've got a feeling if, you know, maybe they're upset early, he runs away from the situation. You know, he runs off somewhere and maybe he signs with a team like the Clippers or, you know, something like that where he thinks he can go and win an easy championship again. Because let's face it, with the exception of last year, the only other titles these guys have won, this guy has won, has been easy titles when the team was hugely favored to do it. You know, and even there, they choked, I believe it was one or two of them away. So it's just, you know, it's just what the guy does. You know, I mean, he could win 10 world titles and they would all be tainted because he would have to go out and chase them. You know, because even as great as a player as he is, he just can't carry a team. You know, he just doesn't. And it's not that he doesn't have the physical skill to carry a team, but you can tell by all this stuff coming out now, he's not mentally capable of carrying a team. I mean, if you can't handle what's going on with the Cavaliers right now, you know, because you hit a little bit of a rough stretch, you know, how are you going to be the leader? So, yeah, it's just, you know, and I mean, when, you know, you look at stuff, I mean, you know, okay, you lost to the Spurs on, you know, primetime Saturday night. You did get the game to overtime, which you were pretty lucky to do. I did watch that game. But, you know, when you lose to a team like the Pelicans, 124 to 122, these are games that truly great players do not lose. All right, I mean, you can go down the list. You know, Larry Bird isn't losing that game. Magic Johnson isn't losing that game. Michael Jordan isn't losing that game. You know, hell, even a guy like Allen Iverson isn't losing that game. They will their team to a victory there. Because it's by 2 points, you lose by 2 points to a bad team. You know, even on the road, it was in New Orleans. That doesn't matter to truly great players. You know, LeBron couldn't find a way to will his team to victory. It was Kyrie Irving keeping him in the game with his 49 freaking points. So, you know, you've just got to kind of, you know, start to, you know, it's time to start questioning what this guy's mental makeup is. Because it's just not, you know, I mean, it's, you know, the whole thing was like not being able to practice with Korver was the reason they were struggling, was just incredibly stupid, because it's the NBA and teams have what, maybe 3 plays, 4 plays that they run. You know, the hardest thing is probably, you know, learning the inbounds plays or the guys, the new guys' names. You know, so you know, they went out and got you, granted your wish there. You know, okay, that's cool. You know, you got your shooter. You know, now you're losing and you're crying because, well, we don't have a playmaker. All right, well, here's my question, Dan. LeBron James played 45 minutes last night, could only manage 24 points. Why is he not in the 30s or the 40s in 45 minutes?
Not enough back.
Right, yeah, I mean, well, you know, he's the best player on the team, right? How come Kyrie Irving took 19 shots and Kevin Love took 16 while James only took 15? Shouldn't he be taking most of the shots?
Well, he's not the playmaker, right?
He's not what?
The playmaker.
Well, he did have 11 assists. He led the team in assists, so he must be some kind of playmaker.
I thought that's what they were looking for.
Yeah. That's what I thought, too. Yeah, you know, it's just kind of, I don't, you know, slowly but surely, I don't understand, you know, this guy's issues anymore. I mean, it's just, you know, cry. And, you know, I mean, they have guys on the bench, but LeBron has now decided that he doesn't, they drafted a rookie by the name of Kay Fedler. And LeBron has decided he does not like him. He's not the playmaker they need. So last night, even though this game went into overtime, this kid played 11 minutes, Dan, in an overtime game. You know, you're not going to develop a kid playing 11 minutes. The other point guard played 1 minute. Kyrie Irving played 42. How do you know if you have a playmaker on your bench when these guys play a total of 12 minutes in an overtime game?
I have no answer.
Well, you should make one up, you know. But, yeah, it's just he, you know, he's truly become the biggest crybaby in professional sports. And, you know, it's just, it's unbelievable, you know, just listening, you know, every day or every other day, it's something new. You know, it's just kind of like, oh, hey, great. What's LeBron crying about today? You know, did somebody say that he has a posse and, you know, he's going to be upset about that? I believe what they should have said is he is something else that starts with P, and they just didn't use the proper term there. But, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, well, we didn't have time to practice, so we're losing. Oh, well, now we need a playmaker because we're losing. You know, and now you got to spend your money. Go out and spend your money. So, you know, I mean, you know, Dan, that'd be like me telling you to go out and buy a house you and your wife couldn't afford. You got to go spend your money. So, you know, and I mean, we're talking unbelievable sums of money, Dan. I mean, how would you feel if you had to pay $88 million in luxury tax on top of the team's salaries? You know, I mean, you're an accountant. What kind of numbers are we talking about here? Those are huge numbers, right? I'm not just making this stuff up. Right? Could you add those numbers together real quick, Dan?
Sorry, I was in my dead zone. I didn't hear you.
Yeah. So. Oh, all right. Well, enough of the fun LeBron stuff. Let's move on to your truly favorite basketball player. You know, obviously the Cavaliers turned down a trade that would have sent Carmelo to the Knicks. Apparently Boston inquired, but they couldn't work anything out. Now, Dan, it looks like it's the Clippers that are the front runner, but in one of these odd sort of NBA rules, I mean, like, I know you and I talked about it, we naturally assumed you swap Carmelo for Blake Griffin, you've got your deal worked out, the teams move on, the numbers match up really well. Well, here you go, Dan. With Derrick Rose still on the Knicks roster, there is a rule in the collective bargaining agreement that says teams cannot have two designated rookie max extensions on their roster via trade. So the Knicks cannot have Carmelo, or the Knicks cannot have Blake Griffin in that deal.
Who are the two rookie max deals?
Well, Griffin would be the second one. Remember, they got Derrick Rose in a trade from the Bulls, who was on his rookie, his extension. He was on the rookie max extension of his deal. So as long as Rose is on the roster, they can't acquire Blake Griffin in the deal because he has a max contract as well. Even though he fits under the salary cap and it would match up with Carmelo's salary, because of this just goofy rule that he's on a rookie max extension, the Knicks can't acquire him. So, yeah, how's that for a rule, huh?
It's interesting how they, who and how they thought of putting that in there.
Yeah, it is kind of weird when you think of it. It's like, who the hell came up with this? But the Knicks apparently have a kind of reply to the Clippers, mentioning that they don't have to get Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, or DeAndre Jordan back in a Carmelo Anthony deal. And some of the names that have come up have been like, it would be two of the three, Austin Rivers, Jamal Crawford, or J.J. Redick. I don't know why the hell you would want Austin Rivers, but, I mean, would you accept two of those three guys for Anthony? I think you're a Redick fan, right? You like J.J. Redick, don't you?
I would say take what you or give what you can.
Yeah, you know, it seems like it's getting to that point with them, isn't it? That they're just going to have to deal him for whatever they can get at this point?
Rose isn't going anywhere.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it could be, I'm just not sure. And I mean, I love Jamal Crawford. I think Jamal Crawford is fantastic, but you know, he's getting up there in years. You know, he's not going to have a lot of years left. I just don't know if you get like a Redick and a Crawford back, if that's enough for Anthony. If you get a couple draft picks thrown in, I mean, I know they would be later, but at least you would have a chance to hit on them. I just don't know. It just doesn't seem fair, kind of straight up fair. It seems like, Redick can shoot threes and Crawford has his moments off the bench, but, Carmelo's still a guy going to go out and give you 25 a night. You know, in that offense, he may give you a little more. I just don't know if it's an equal trade, but, like you said, I guess they got to take what they can get. So, I don't know. I did find out yesterday, Dan, Carmelo is one of three players in the NBA who have a full no trade clause. Can you guess the other two?
LeBron.
Yes, that's one. No, actually, believe it or not, it's a guy, an older player that you were hoping was going to have a breakout year when you paid for him in the auction league, or kind of a bounce back year. And then he ended up getting hurt for you early. Dirk has a full no trade. So, but yeah, that was I did not know that. You kind of figure LeBron, he's not going anywhere. But I was surprised with Dirk. Not that the Mavericks would probably ever consider trading him, anyways. He's a you know, if no matter how many more years he plays, he's going to be in that uniform. So yeah, it, you know, this is kind of a fun story to stay with. I mean, do you think they eventually move Anthony? And then what does that do to their team? I mean, are they just had it guaranteed the lottery, you know?
Well, if they move Anthony, I think they could be a viable option to take over the 76ers spot. Or maybe even the Nets spot. Would be the worst team in New York.
But the Nets are pretty bad. They're 9-36, so the Nets would have to get hot to catch the Knicks at 20-27. But could they? Do you think they could actually fall low enough to where they could end up with the number one pick? You know, could they fall to like one of the five worst or three worst where you get the really good chance to get the pick?
I don't think so this season. I think next year.
But Derrick Rose will be there to save them next year. Oh, wait. Sorry, I got carried away there for a minute. I forgot. You know, they keep talking about on the radio that snowstorm that happened 50 years ago here in Chicago, and I forgot what year it was. So, you know. But, you know, I was going over some FanDuel stuff before Dan and I came on the air, and I noticed while I was putting the lineup together, it's a seemed like a short night in the NBA, and Dan, I was right. There's only four games on the schedule. It's TNT's night to cover games. It's the Dallas Mavericks at the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's the first game on TNT. You got the Indiana Pacers at the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Phoenix Suns at the Denver Nuggets, and then the night on TNT wraps up with the Los Angeles Lakers at the Utah Jazz. So, yeah, there's only four NBA games tonight. So, and then the last thing here, Dan, I'm not sure if, you know, how your day went, and I don't know if you've had some time to catch up with this, but did you hear the Bulls issues with good old Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler just destroying their teammates last night?
I mean, I've seen Rajon Rondo kind of taking it out against them on Instagram.
Yeah, you know, like Butler, Jimmy Butler in his post-game interview in the locker room dropped the MF bomb. You don't hear that too often. So, you know, Dwayne Wade came out and he used terms like, you know, I don't know that they care enough, you know, talking about the teammates, and he threw out the old, well, you know, I got three championships and I shouldn't care more about this than they do. And it was very, very kind of us against them. I mean, it basically divided the team into Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler against everybody else. What ended up happening is the Bulls blew a 10-point lead down the stretch and ended up losing 119-114 to the Hawks last night. They were actually up 110-100 with 3 minutes and 1 second left in the game. So they managed 4 points while Atlanta put up 19. But, you know, Butler and Wade combined to score 73 points. Butler had 40. Wade had the 33 part of that. And, yeah, you know, now again, Dan, you know, the team's 23-24. They're pretty much right where I expected them to be. You know, I mean, this loss obviously did suck. It was a game they should have won. There's no doubt about that. Is it worth all the fanfare, all the dramatics from Wade and Butler? I mean, is it going to help this team? Is it going to make guys like your guy, Dougie McBuckets, play harder?
I mean, they already don't play defense. I don't know how that changes anything. And that's just not the Bulls. That's the league as a whole.
Yeah. So, but now, is it clear to you that the Fred Hoiberg experiment isn't working and he needs to go?
Well, you know, listening to Chicago, they want the entire system, top to bottom, gone. Fred, Star, and Pack. But...
yeah.
But I mean, as you said, to Fred, I think it's time to shore him back up and send him back packing. so he can go finish coaching college kids and get a real NBA coach up there.
Yeah, well, you know, they had a real NBA coach and the front office didn't like him. You know, Stu, you know, our fill-in host here, Schomburg, Stu, has been on the bandwagon for a while that Fred has to go. You know, what last year they said that they didn't have his type of player. So, you know, they went out and apparently acquired all these guys because these were Fred Hoiberg's type of guys. And, you know, the team is just as bad, if not worse, than last year. Is there a defense for John Paxson and Gar Forman? Because they're the two guys who put this team together. But I also think you and I both know that they're not going anywhere because as loyal as Jerry Reinsdorf is, he's going to hang on to these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know where Gar comes from or what his affiliation is, but if anyone's to go, it's going to be Fred. It's not going to be Pax, that's for sure.
Yeah, Pax is basically the Bulls version of Kenny Williams. I don't think he's ever going anywhere unless he decides to retire. I wouldn't be surprised to see Forman end up being the guy who kind of has to fall on the sword here and take this one. Because, you know, they don't have an excuse here. This was their guy. Fred Hoiberg was their guy. You know, John Paxson loved this guy. And he's been a boss. You know, all he's proven in his 2 years here is that he can't coach NBA basketball.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at this team and the other team runs their own, you know, I'm assuming that Rick Hahn will be fired in 3 years.
Yeah, you know, that. Well, is it him or is it going to be Renteria? You know, he'll be the guy who leads it up to where they're supposed to be. So, you know, and
yeah,
they replace him with another guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't, you know, and it's weird because, you know, I'm listening to all the, you know, these, you know, the experts or however you want to describe them as, and they're, you know, they're all like, well, you know, you got to tear this team down. You know, you got to rip the Bulls apart and you got to start from scratch. Well, you know, I guess my question is, Dan, besides Jimmy Butler, is there anybody else on this team that anybody's going to want?
The only other guy I would think that someone might want would be Robin Lopez.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking those were the guys who popped in my head. I would think somebody would take Lopez because he's 7 feet tall. He doesn't mind playing defense. And I think Taj Gibson could fit in real well as a role player with the right team. But, you know, other than that, I mean, you know, Dwayne Wade's done. They can't give Rajon Rondo away. You know, I think, you know, Doug McDermott is another one of those guys. You know, I think if Doug McDermott could get minutes on a team like the Warriors, he could average 15 points a game shooting his three-pointers. You know, he would be fine on teams like that. But, you know, he's not going to play defense. They knew that when they drafted him. It's just who he is. You know, it's just – you know, you start looking at the roster, it's like, well, you know, you can't cut all these guys. You know, you can't give Rondo away. They've been trying to trade Rajon Rondo and Nikola Mirotic for about 2 weeks now and can't get a taker on either guy. You know, and Mirotic was the guy who was supposed to benefit from Hoiberg's system.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. He was supposed to be the answer to this system.
Yeah. So... you know, yeah, and it's just, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, great. You know, and what baffles me, Dan, and I'll be the last guy to pretend I'm a, you know, I'm a basketball expert or, you know, any of that stuff, but I still don't understand why I haven't seen the Bulls use the pairing when they go with Butler, Wade, Rondo, McDermott, and Mirotic on the court. And, you know, they let the three guys, you know, Rondo, Wade, Butler operate to try to drive and get layups or dunks or whatever. And then if that doesn't work, you shoot it out to the three-point line where McDermott or Mirotic is standing because they're your two best three-point shooters. And, you know, if you can't get the driving layup or the dunk, you shoot the three. And it seems really simple to do. And for whatever reason, I don't think I've seen the Bulls use it.
No, I haven't seen that a whole lot. The one thing I have seen that I do like, though, you know, and obviously it's coming out of Jimmy and Dwayne, are the jump shots. you know, I'd rather score than miss a wide open three.
So, yeah, well, you know, and the weird thing is Jimmy's three-point shooting has really improved this year.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting much better at it. You know, Wade as a whole, you know, he's not, you know, he's shooting, he's okay. You know, we're not going to say he's really good. He doesn't totally stink, but he hasn't been really good. He's shooting about 43% from the field as a whole. You know, you'd like to see, it'd be great if he was closer to Jimmy, who's shooting about 46%. But, you know, it weighs age. You're going to get a little bit of that decline. And, you know, it's that thing that happens. You know, he's not Tony Snell, right?
Yeah, but, no, but, I mean, he has the ability still to move the ball around the court, which I can see where the statement might come out, where you can kind of see him, the ball from the top, run it down in and around and underneath the basket to come back out, and there's nobody there to throw the ball to. You know, he's almost creating the diversion, but the diversion doesn't open up anything. And if you're an X, the remainder of the guys are sitting on their X, and they're not really moving around.
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of the new NBA, though, isn't it? There are very few teams that actually still kind of run a motion offense. You know, everybody wants to stand out by the three-point line and shoot the three, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, I figured the Bulls were in trouble when they kept talking about Paul Zipser as kind of being the solution and how they were going to insert him into the starting lineup. I figured that wasn't really an answer. So, but, you know, Fred was backing him. Fred was all over him, Dan, and he's shooting a whopping 28.3% from the field. So that should tell you just a little bit about Fred's coaching there. He's backing the guy that can't hit 30% of his shots. So, yay. So, I don't know. Just one of those things. But, you know, it's a huge, huge night in the NHL, Dan, scheduling-wise. I think it seemed as almost every team was playing. You know, this is the last game before the All-Star break. And then, you know, I think, you know, they come back, is it the 31st or something like that? I know they're off for a little while. But here's the schedule real quick. We got the Pittsburgh Penguins at the Boston Bruins, the Washington Capitals at the New Jersey Devils, the Montreal Canadiens at the New York Islanders, the Toronto Maple Leafs at the Philadelphia Flyers, the Los Angeles Kings at the Carolina Panthers, the Calgary Flames at the Ottawa Senators, the Tampa Bay Lightning at the Florida Panthers, the Columbus Blue Jackets at the Nashville Predators, the St. Louis Blues at the Minnesota Wild. That's the NBC Sports Network game tonight. The Winnipeg Jets are at the Chicago Blackhawks, the Buffalo Sabres at the Dallas Stars, the Vancouver Canucks at the Arizona Coyotes, and the Edmonton Oilers at the San Jose Sharks. So lots of NHL action tonight, Dan. But it says unless you have CSNB or the Madison Square Garden Network, you're not going to be able to watch the Capitals tonight. I'm sorry.
Then I'm protesting. It's all Trump's fault, right?
Yes. It definitely is. But, yeah, you know, going into tonight – you know, and I know everybody remembers, you know, Columbus had that big, huge, long winning streak. Washington, the Capitals, do have the most points in the NHL going into tonight with 70. So it looks like, you know, going into the break, they're going to be either, you know, on top or tied on top. So, you know, Columbus is right behind them at 68. So that's those guys are 1 and 2 up top. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting that even, you know, when Columbus was on that long run, I remember kind of looking at the schedule, and I think the Capitals were back in, like, fourth. And, you know, they were behind Columbus, the Penguins, and the Rangers. And, you know, they're 8-1-1 in their last 10, Dan. They did lose their last game, but they've been rolling. And, yeah, they put themselves right back on top, you know, with the 70 points. They're 32-10-6. So.
Well, I mean,
you know,
I think this, sorry, if the knee had a funny bone, I just hit it. But regardless,
cool.
Yeah, you know, that spot, it really sucks. But, you know, what really sparked off the Capitals was, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that, was it a week or two ago on Rivalry Wednesday, and they really wanted to tongue tie you up with that freaking hashtag. But was there, you know, the Capitals Penguins, it really, I think, opened them up. And, you know, I forget who, you know, the guys that cover on MS or NBCSN. Yeah, get all your acronyms together for NBC station. You know, they even mentioned that this was almost like the coming out for the Capitals, proving that they still have it, you know, after the defeat to the Penguins last year. So, I mean, ever since then, it seems like they've really kind of broken out and really established their dominance. And don't forget, that point total was extremely held. What would you say, in three games when they scored almost like 20 points in a matter of three or four games, which I think was phenomenal.
So yeah, they went on that bit of a goal scoring rampage there a little bit. So,
well, you remember that one was 7-1 or 7-2 or something. You know, it was just insane what they did in a week.
Yeah, they definitely have the offense, you know, to put up the points. So.
Well, and that's the other thing. They have the offense to put up the points, but a couple of key defensive guys have no problem shooting at the goal either. After they knock you on your butt.
You know, as long as I have
Justin Williams.
I don't think I have any Washington defenders. I think I only have Jay Beagle. So.
No, I think I have Justin Williams. I got to double check on that one. But I know I landed Brooks Orpik, if I say that right. And I have Ovi.
Yes.
Could have my team would be freaking Capitals and Penguins.
I have Evgeny Malkin from the Penguins, and sadly he's dinged up right now. He's gonna miss the All-Star game. Hopefully he'll be back when they return from
I'm still riding the Nick Foligno train. Still riding the Nick Foligno train, but it seems like not last year, the year before was one of his high points. And I'm not saying he's getting any worse, but he isn't getting any better. So, you know, it's rough. I don't know, Big Jack. It's fun, but at the same time, it is a little difficult sometimes to keep up with, you know, three leagues at once, because we've only ever we get that many at once. It's rough.
Yeah.
And then NASCAR next. We're going to have hockey, basketball, NASCAR, and baseball. And Mr. Fantasy will not change anyone.
we'll have to see. You know, if he's not changing his baseball lineup this year, we're going to have a real problem with him, I think. So, So we'll see how that works, but. Now I know Washington was your preseason pick to win the cup. So, you know, you're looking pretty good there.
I thought I was last year too.
Yeah. You know, they still have, you know, for all as good as they are in the regular season, you know, they still have those hiccups in the playoffs that, you know, end up costing them. It's just, it's mind-boggling.
Well, and I can't, you know, I don't, the hiccups, I don't know, I think last year, though, it was the Penguins.
Yeah.
I don't remember the whole finals, but I do remember watching that series intently, and, I mean, the Penguins were just on fire. There was nothing you could do to stop those guys last year.
You know, I noticed that's one of those things that, you know, you definitely see in the NHL a lot. If a team gets rolling, man, they're just gone. It's unbelievable the way that really affects the playoffs. You know, and I know the first year I noticed it, and I know I bring it up all the time, was the year the Kings came from the eighth seed.
Yeah.
When, you know, Jonathan Quick just played out of his mind, and it seemed like it didn't matter where you shot the puck, he stopped it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was the first year I really noticed. I was like, man, yeah, you know, when a team really gets rolling, it, you know, if, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, they just, you know, they just go and go and go. And, you know, we've seen the Blackhawks do it a few times. You know, we saw, obviously you mentioned the Penguins. It was just kind of like, wow.
Well, and I mean, like you said, even for me, prior to doing this podcast, there wasn't a whole lot of hockey in my life. Occasionally, when there was nothing on, I would actually watch the Wolves because they were on local television and much better quality than the Hawks, because remember that old story. But, you know, it was, you know, you kind of pushing me, you know, the playoffs are coming up. You got to check that out a little bit because that's what we do now. And, you know, tuning in, I don't remember a whole lot of that playoff, but was that 2014 when the Kings won?
I'm trying to remember how long we've been doing this now. So
yeah. Oh, maybe it was even longer. You're right. So
yeah,
I don't know. I can't remember the list, but it was when the Kings won, and, you know, sitting there watching that finals, was just amazing to me. And that's when I turned around and I go, this is what hockey is about. So this is hockey. And, you know, ever since then, that's when we went into the shortened season, I believe, with the Hawks, right? With that 27
yeah.
games
yeah.
in a row. So, I mean, and then on, you know, I was kind of hooked. I was able to, which I know it sounds crazy, but I was able to listen to the games. And, you know, the job I was in was so many West Coast games. And you remember this because you didn't, I don't even think you watched a hockey game after that shortened season, because every game seemed to be on at 9 o'clock, which worked out for me because I was able to see definitely the last period of every game. By the time I got home, I listened to the first two on the radio and, you know, got home just in time for the last. So, you know, that's really pushed me into hockey. And I think after the shortened season, that's when we started the fantasy league that I should have won the first
yeah.
year, but Patrick Kane got hurt.
Yeah. You know, that's the fun breaks you have when you're doing that kind of stuff. So, you know, just one of those, you know, one of the fun things you get to deal with in fantasy league, when your guy goes down with an injury, you're like, oh, damn it. So.
Yeah, and when does he come back? Right after I'm kicked out of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's how it always works, doesn't it? You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wait to get the guy back, and it's like, come on, come back. No, he's not back yet. Damn it. So. But yeah, it should be, you know, like I said, a lot of hockey tonight. You know, I know that I've noticed the, you know, the NHL will, you know, the network will do the deal where they'll bounce from game to game and stuff. So you can, it helps to keep up with that. You know, when you're going along, I like to check in and see if maybe I can catch one of my guys getting a goal for me or something like that. So.
Yeah, but I will say, with the addition of the NBC Sports Network, I think the exposure to hockey is definitely improving and getting out there a little bit more. You know, and if Comcast keeps up what they're doing, I think that's pretty cool on off nights when there's no Bulls or Hawks going on. You know, hey, let's throw on a West Coast or, you know.
Yeah, it would be nice to see, you know, hockey get some major media attention, because, you know, it is a, you know, a fun sport to watch. And I mean, you know, you don't listen to the BS, you know, like Mr. Fantasy, you can't follow the puck. You know, it's not that difficult. You can see what's going on, or, you know what's going on just from watching, you know, it's
well,
kind of like, okay,
today.
You know, great, but yeah.
Your HDTV, definitely you can see the puck. No, Mr. Fantasy, you could see the puck on a theater screen in your basement, right?
Yeah. You would think. And, you know, maybe it was just the fact that he needed glasses and he just didn't know that at the time. So, you know how that
yeah,
goes.
No,
but,
I mean,
so
I had to train my wife in watching hockey and to not focus on the puck, but more the action, and then you'll know where the puck is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, that's how you do it. I mean, obviously, you know, the skaters are converging on the puck, so all you got to do is follow the guys, and they're eventually going to lead you right to the puck. So, but there, you know, there was, Dan, you know, a little, you know, sort of kind of interesting baseball news, but the biggest, most important baseball story of the day, I don't know if you've seen this one, the Seattle Mariners manager Scott Servais announced that Felix Hernandez will be the team's opening day starter. So no real surprise there. I believe it's his 9th in a row and 10th out of 11 years for the Mariners. So there you go. The King gets the opening day start, well-deserved as always. But, you know, just a, you know, minor signing, former Cub Scott Feldman inked a deal with the Reds. 1 year, $2.3 million. I assume they'll look to flip him like the Cubs did when they brought him in. But what I really wanted your opinion on here, Dan, was this story today. The Dodgers came out and said that the way it looks, they're going to start Julio Urias in extended spring training to limit his innings this year. Now, you know how I am with this, Dan. This drives me freaking nuts. Either you can pitch or you can't pitch. He could get hurt as easily in extended spring training as he could anywhere else. What, you know, what the hell is this team doing? And I don't know if you're muted or what, Dan, but I can't hear you. Or did you hit another dead spot?
No, you're right. I was muted as I'm talking to myself.
Okay. So,
hello, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. So what were we talking about? As you...
Julio Urias. Yes.
So what did we learn about Urias at the end of the season or, you know, throughout the season to begin with? That basically, he can only go 5 innings. 5 1/3 if you're lucky. Extended spring training. I mean, how is that any different than playing in the minor leagues? It's a little bit less serious? Because he didn't obviously play
yeah.
the whole season
well,
with the Dodgers last year.
The way it
and
was explained... The way it was explained was that in extended spring training, like if it's a major league game and say he's in the, I don't know, you know, it's going into the 6th inning and say he's winning the game 4-1, you would want him to go out and pitch that 6th inning because of the situation he's in. In extended spring training, they'll just hook him because they don't care about the outing. He's just on his limit.
During the regular season.
Yeah, during, you know, a different, you know, obviously it would be different than, you know, how it would be in a major league game where, you know, they would want to keep him out there and they would want to get that win. In instructional league, they'll just pull him because the win doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, you don't care if you don't care if you win or lose a
But I'm saying they're going to do this at the major league level, though.
No. They're going to send him to extended spring training and do it there.
Oh. Well, I mean, I'm not surprised. Again, he's proven that he can't go past five innings to begin with. So, number one, we got to get him to work
him or was that. Was that him or was that their choice?
A lot of it was him. I would say it's definitely 55-45, 60-40. Definitely leans towards him. But he's a batter's pitcher, however you want to say it. People can hit off him. So I think he just needs to learn to pitch in the majors. And doing the extended training, spring training, I don't know if it really helps or makes it worse, because it's almost like you say, with pitching, you leave the guy down in the minors. Well, that's great because he's, you know, knocking out all the minor leaguers, but he comes back up. And the performance he gave before he was sent down wasn't much different than when he came up, came back up again. I don't know if you remember that. It was, you know, pretty much the same. He'd get in a jam. He'd, you know, get the bases, maybe not loaded, but two batters on, second and third. He seemed to be doing that a lot towards the fourth, fifth inning. And then when he came back up, it looked kind of the same.
You know, just looking off his game log, when he first came up, it appears as they treated him as a fairly normal pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then when he went down and came back up, that was when they really started to limit him. You know, I mean, there's games on here, you know, like four innings, one run. You know, five innings, one run. He went 2 2/3 of an inning, didn't give up any runs. He was taken out of the game.
Yeah.
You know, 3 2/3, he didn't give up any runs. He was taken out of the game. Three innings, he was taken out of the game with, you know, didn't give up any runs. You know, that's not him. That's them hooking him to protect him.
David Roberts.
So, yeah, it definitely seems like, yeah, when he started off, yeah, he pitched like a normal guy. You know, 4, 5, 6 innings, you know, tried to work through trouble, everything else. But for, yeah, whatever reason, when they brought him back, I mean, they really babied him. You know, he's got 2 6-inning starts out of his last, what is this here, 14. You know, and it's just, you know, guys aren't going to improve. I mean, I get it. He was 5-2. You know, he actually had a pretty good year, 5-2 with a 3.39 ERA. You know, I'm sure he'll be a front runner for Rookie of the Year if he qualifies. But it just doesn't seem like this is the way to develop a pitcher. You know, I mean, you're going to teach him how to throw more innings by babying him?
Well, that's what I'm questioning.
Yeah.
You know, how
I don't,
just because the pressure's not there. I don't really see
that's what they seem to think. See, and what's funny is, you know, Kevin Millar kind of brought up the same points you did. You know, what's really the difference? You know, it's not going to be any different in Urias's mind, because he's going to be out on the mound pitching to these guys. I can't believe I did that. I've been doing it right for so long. But, it's not going to be any different in his mind, because he's out there pitching to these guys. Whether it's a developmental guy or a major leaguer, he's still going to want to get him out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of strange.
Well, you brought up in the past the fact that it's confusing, because you're essentially counting the pitches that are thrown in a live game. Which, okay, that makes sense.
Right.
You count it.
Yeah.
But what about the 100 or so throws, 100 plus throws that are made for the 2 hours prior to the game? You know, with all the different exercises, if you've been there early, I mean, we put all this emphasis on the pitch count, but yet, you know, his arm's been going for what? It's game time 7:05. They had to report about 3:30. They're out on that field up until after 5, and then right around 6:40 or so, the pitchers and catchers come back out. So he's already thrown the ball a bunch today, went back out there, the game's about to start. Then they start doing their warm-ups in the outfield with him and the catcher, where, you know, the next thing, if you're sitting in center field, it's pretty cool to have, you know, said pitcher in center field throwing from there. They do the long tosses, the long throws. So, you know, again, we put all this emphasis on pitch count, but that arm is being, you know, rotated a million times, hundreds of times before they even step to the mound for pitch number one.
All right. Well, I want to get some picks in here because we missed yesterday and you had such a bad day. You need to make up for it from the other night. So we'll start in the NBA. It's I did the game, so we'll just do them real quick. Dallas at Oklahoma City, Indiana at Minnesota, Phoenix at Denver, and the Lakers at Utah. Let's just do one NBA game today because there's so many NHL games. Dan, let's go with Indiana at Minnesota. You like the Pacers to go in and beat the Timberwolves, or you got the T-Wolves picking up a win?
I'm going to go with the T-Wolves at home.
Yeah, they got a big win for you. They were your only team that won for you two nights ago. So,
thanks, guys.
You know, we'll see how it goes. Now, you know, the NHL schedule, it's pretty obvious which couple games I'm going to throw at you, but we'll do the whole spiel here. We got the Penguins at the Bruins, the Caps at the Devils, the Canadiens at the Islanders, the Maple Leafs at the Flyers, the Kings at the Hurricanes, the Flames at the Senators, the Lightning at the Panthers, the Blue Jackets at the Predators, the Blues at the Wild, the Jets at the Blackhawks, the Sabres at the Stars, the Canucks at the Coyotes, and the Oilers at the Sharks. And actually, I see there's three games I can give you, Dan. We got the Capitals at the Devils. You got the Caps getting a win going into the All-Star break?
Oh, yes. Caps all the way.
That was good because I already wrote that one down, so I was hoping you weren't going to, like, go, oh, well, there's an upset tonight. So, all right, let's go with the Blue Jackets at the Predators.
I'm going with Columbus.
Oh, all right. So, Winnipeg at Chicago.
Chicago. I don't even have to think about that.
Well, you know, Winnipeg has beaten them, I believe, two or three times this year. So that's what I thought you were contemplating on, was if the Jets were going to be able to come in here and get another win.
No, not this time.
So, all right, the music means Dan and I are going to take off. But don't worry, we'll come back tomorrow live to do this all again. We'll see how Dan's picks go. You know the deal while we're away. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out all the cool stuff there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. We greatly appreciate it. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. Now, you know, Dan's picks come up there, or you can get them at Dan Z Man. Remember, there's threes in that. His only NBA pick tonight, he's going with the Timberwolves, hoping they get another win for him. On the ice tonight, he likes the Capitals over the Devils. The Blue Jackets, believe it or not, he's going against the Predators again, Nationals, so you got to go get him. And then he's got the Blackhawks to beat the Jets. Get on that Twitter feed. Let Dan know what you think. As always, thanks for listening. You can get the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.